I have huge ratings. Everybody's sitting and analyzing, gee, how far can you go? How can this is entertainment. People, there's a huge audience for what I do. We're not sitting there to debate whether or not my kind of radio is good. The reason I'm here is to say, hey, there's a lot of people who like what I do. I'm a damn good entertainer.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. By the way, coming up in a few minutes, we are going to give away a pair of Mariners tickets. Don't call yet. We have the lines blocked right now. But I'll give you the number now so you can have it on speed dial. Is there such a thing as speed dial anymore? Does that even exist?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you just push the number again.
Speedy. It's as quick as your finger.
The fifth caller, when I give you the cue, not yet, will win two tickets to join the Mariners May 31st for the first fireworks night of the season. The force will be strong. The Mariners celebrate the Star Wars saga with dozens of characters around the park and the fireworks spectacular. And you can get tickets for that at Mariners.com. But I will give away a pair coming up in a few minutes here as part of the Big Lead. And I said I don't ever criticize colleagues. Mentioned that earlier today. If somebody's got a beef with one of my colleagues, they can take it up with one of my colleagues. Well, should I extend that to our network?
Well, as long as it doesn't undermine our whole station, what are you going to complain about?
Well, I mentioned this on Friday, and it became stark again today. There's a horrible story in Texas about a transgender woman who had been assaulted in April, and she was murdered this weekend. And I saw CNN tweet it out, CBS tweeted it out, as they should. It's a horrible story, and it's newsworthy. So I checked again. There's a serial killer who has been caught in Texas. He's here in this country illegally from Kenya, named Billy Chimirmir. And so I checked all the networks. This guy is accused of murdering 12 senior citizen women between the ages of 78 and 94. And I mean, it's a horrible, the media loves serial killer stories. I mean, you've heard all about Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, the DC snipers, Jack the Ripper. I mean, serial killers, the media loves to cover. So CNN does the story about the transgender person who was murdered, and rightly so. CNN has still not mentioned, if you type in the serial killer, the accused serial killer, Billy
Chimirmir. CNN did do it, and then CBS has not done it?
No, CNN has not.
CNN has not done it.
Talked about the serial killer because he's an illegal. CBS has one story about Billy Chimirmir from 1 year ago when he was first suspected, doesn't mention his illegal status. They have nothing in the last 2 weeks. ABC News has covered the transgender person murder. ABC News has also covered the illegal serial killer. Fox News has covered the transgender murder and the serial killer. NBC, I couldn't get into their website. But I'm checking all the networks. When you choose to cover stories and not cover stories because of the sexual identity of the transgressor, you're not a news organization. You're just a far left political activism operation. And I find it amazing. And again, the transgender woman murdered, yes, newsworthy. Everybody's covered it. The serial killer who's an illegal, a couple of networks have chosen to ignore the story, and I'm positive I know why. Because he's an illegal, and it doesn't fit their current agenda of not doing any stories that might somehow have coattails that help the president. And when that's your news standard, then it's tough. I mean, I like a lot of what CBS does. And
you know,
I like a lot
I
of people.
I do know who
there.
Runs the newsroom there, and I'm going to ask.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I'm going to ask because I don't want us to guess what the motive is. I want him to ask, you know, is there a reason this is not being covered?
I would appreciate that.
I would.
Call CNN, too, will you?
I don't know anyone there.
Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get into the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Oh, I feel sorry for today. Spokane.
Why?
Because I have a story in my hand right here. Spokane is the worst drug felony city in Washington.
Really? Based on who came out with the report?
It's in the spokesman. Is the spokesman? Okay. It's their own hometown newspaper, and just tracking drug convictions. They're the worst drug city. There's no way that Spokane's worse than Seattle. But if you have a prosecutor who actually prosecutes drug crimes, as Spokane apparently does, and you have one who does not, then it skews statistics just a little bit. So I have no doubt that we have a much worse drug problem. I'm not saying that it's all buttercups in Spokane, but I have no doubt that we have a much worse drug problem here. But if you're just going to go on prosecutions, well, then of course, because we've decided to legalize heroin and meth in personal possession amounts. So to say Spokane's the worst drug city in the state, I feel bad for Spokane. So I just wanted to say, I'm here for you, Spokane. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, Bizarro World.
Meanwhile, I told you a couple of weeks ago there was an issue on the ballot in Denver. Should we let drug vagrants sleep on our streets and in our parks? And the people of Denver said not just no, but hell no. 74% said, no, we don't want to let druggies sleep anywhere in the city. They no doubt have seen how bizarre things have gotten here in Seattle. And this may be another example that we are, along with San Francisco, maybe the most radical lunatics when it comes to dealing with this drug crime plague. In San Diego, they are passing an emergency ordinance to do what we should be doing here in the Puget Sound area.
Please understand, we come from compassion. We come from love.
But dozens of San Diegans were clearly not feeling the love as San Diego City Council voted 6-3 to pass the mayor's new vehicle habitation ordinance, placing stricter restrictions on those living out of their cars, vans, and other vehicles within city limits.
In fact, I just got an email a couple of hours ago. We're going to follow up with this listener who emailed me. I just thought about this, but I got to find it now. But she owns an apartment building in Ballard, and she told me, and I know exactly, I grew up very close to where this apartment, here it is. We own an apartment building. We have, for more than a year, watched drug dealers set up camp in vans on the street next to the church across the street from our apartment building to supply the addicts with their drug of choice day and night. Easy prey, she writes. This is from listener Kim. She said the drug vans have been parked in the same spaces for almost a year now. Why have they not been towed? If I parked there, I'd be towed. Probably because I have an address. The addicts roam the street yelling and cursing into the wee hours of the morning, come onto our property, even jump over tenants' decks to access units. The police have been called endless times, and of course, nothing is being done. Our tenants have had to look out at this from their living room windows for far too long now and are fed up. We now have 6 going on 7 vacancies due to the addicts and dealers and homeless. It's a lovely building. We take good care of it. The situation is now resulting in a loss of over $10,000 each month. Yeah, does somebody want to try to make sense of that? That we have, and you know, it's like the business owner. We broke a story, gosh, this was a few years. This is really in the earliest days of the RV drug crisis. But there was a business owner in Magnolia, and she provided us the surveillance video from their business of an RV that would sell drugs right across the street, and you saw people walk out of the RV with presumably heroin. They sat down in their car, tied off their arm, and shot up, and then went driving away, endangering the lives of all of the innocent people they shared the streets with. And this business owner came on my show, and she said, we've got the video. We have proof of people shooting up and then driving away with heroin coursing through their veins. And we can't get the cops to even come out here. Because we've decided, and this gets back to what I was talking about last half hour, this is really a mental illness that has gripped political leadership around here. There's no rational explanation any longer for what's happening. So in Denver, very liberal city, did marijuana at the same time as us. They just legalized magic mushrooms in Denver. I mean, it's an incredibly liberal city. And they said, no, we're not going to let people sleep in the parks and on the sidewalk. Of course not. San Diego, people camping in their cars.
This ordinance establishes what is essentially apartheid. It's poverty apartheid.
My car keeps me safe. My car protects me from having to be on the streets.
And these are defenders of the car campers, as they call themselves, who are saying, no, you're discriminating against us because we are sleeping in our cars. And the people of San Diego have still said, enough. Now, San Diego's, significantly a big military town, a lot of retirees in the region, very not nearly as whack job leftist as the politicians in San Francisco and Seattle.
As a female, I have nowhere else to go.
I'm hoping that one day.
And by the way, I'm tired of hearing that. I have nowhere else to go. That's nonsense. Sorry to be so blunt, but we provide so many tax services to people for places where they can go if they want to get clean. Even if they don't, we've got wet houses, which is also mentally ill, where you can shoot up and have the taxpayers get you a tiny home. But there's nowhere else to go. We're spending $100,000 per homeless person per year in the Puget Sound area. More than $100,000. Most of it eaten up by the bureaucracy of the homeless industrial complex. Anyway, let me take you back to San Diego, because they've said, no, we're not going to let people camp on the streets.
It can be a bit more proactive and not be reactive.
Just because some RVers may break the rules, that doesn't mean that all RVers should be punished into non-existence with laws that make our mere existence illegal.
It does not make your existence illegal. It means you should get out of your RV, avail yourself of the vast array of services that are out there. Now, it might mean that you'll have to get clean at some point. And that's what this is about. It's about a lot of people, whether it's San Diego or Seattle or San Francisco, a lot of people who have decided they want to make drug use and street vagrancy their lifestyle of choice. So this we have nowhere to go. We're spending a fortune. And we can and should take care of everybody who wants help. The reality is a lot do not want help. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
If you missed the story that we led the show with, and I'm absolutely serious about this, as we broke this story locally, Jay Inslee's presidential campaign has new life. And I mean this very seriously. Inslee has been languishing at between 0% 1%. He cannot get any traction because people are apathetic. The more they hear him talk, the more apathetic the listener gets. But this weekend, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has a gigantic social media presence, she has thrown her weight behind Jay Inslee and his proposed Green New Deal. Jay Inslee last week announced a $9 trillion Green New Deal. It would cost every tax-paying citizen in America. By the way, when I give you numbers, I've really thought them through. And I got so many people who just, I don't know if you choose to be obtuse, if you just aren't, you know, the critics, if they're just not sharp enough. We had 140 tax returns filed in America. The bottom half do not pay federal income taxes. The top half do. So you have about 70 million filers who actually pay federal income taxes. You divide Jay Inslee's $9 trillion Green New Deal by the 70 million American taxpayers, it works out to about $126,000 per working tax filer, or top 50% tax filer. So if you make median and above, it would cost you $126,000 over the next 10 years, this insane Inslee Green New Deal. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who doesn't seem to be really well-versed in economics, she tweeted, Jay Inslee's climate plan is the most serious and comprehensive one to address our crisis in the 2020 field. It meets key marks, big enough, fast enough, economically stimulating, acknowledges injustice. I didn't realize that climate change was about taking money from some people and distributing it for injustice. So, I'm telling you right now, though, once Ocasio-Cortez says Inslee's her guy, Inslee gets new life. Those are the paddles that his fading heartbeat of a campaign desperately needed. And so Jay Inslee probably gets on the debate stage. Trump would beat him 50 states to zero. I really believe that. It would be a trouncing of epic proportions. But I don't think Inslee's going to be the candidate. There's no way he survives this process. But he's a player now. Okay, and finally, in the big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Yeah, let's give away those Mariners tickets. A pair for the May 31st game for the fifth caller right now. It's a fireworks night, the first one of the season. So fifth caller right now, 888-973-CHIRO. That's 888-973-5476. We will send you out to the ballpark, and that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on CHIRO Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day coming up next. Do you like to go to Hawaii?
I love Hawaii.
Do you like to snorkel?
I do.
I really enjoy snorkeling.
Okay, the one thing I found out, though, you've got to remember to keep putting sunscreen on because I burned my back.
Yeah, because your back's sitting in the sun when you snorkel.
You don't realize that, right? I'm just like, wait. I came back. I was just peeling.
I actually did realize it.
I didn't.
Have you ever scuba dove?
No.
I did one time in the Caribbean. You took a class in the morning in a swimming pool, and then they took you out into the ocean
for a
free dive. Yeah, it just wasn't for me. It's something I wanted to do. I wanted to try. I wanted to see if I liked it. It was okay.
I know there are people who are just passionate
about
it. Yes.
I do, too. Anyway, have you ever seen an octopus or a squid when you've snorkeled?
Yes. Squid.
Yeah, they have squid in Hawaii. Because I have some good news about global warming or climate change. We just got this message that climate change may be significantly altering the level of oxygen on our planet, and a new study dives into the impact it could have on marine life, including squid, crabs, and octopi. They're going blind.
What?
Yeah. This is the Journal of Experimental Biology. It highlights that oxygen is important to sight and retinal activity for certain marine larvae, and they've used vivo electroretinogram recordings, and they think that they're starting to lose their sight. So to me, this is a bonus, because because the octopi and the squid won't come after us now because they won't know where we are because they're creepy little creatures.
It always just turns back to how it's going to benefit you.
Absolutely. Because they are creepy. You have to admit.
They are creepy.
When you see like one of those huge eels on any of those things, yeah, anything we can do to lessen their ability to spot me when I'm snorkeling, I say fire up the old rider mower, whether your lawn needs mowing or not. And then there's, I got time for this. There's one other big controversy. I bet you're looking forward to this as well as I am. The Elton John movie that's coming out.
Oh, my friend Tracy and I are going to the Elton John concert later this year.
It's in Tacoma. Yeah. Well, his new movie, Rocket Man, I've just heard great things about it, but there's a huge controversy. The actor who plays Elton John, Taron Egerton, is getting slammed by the LGBTQ+ community because he's straight and he's playing a gay man. And they think that he should have turned down the role. This is in the Hollywood Reporter. They think that he should have turned down the role and given it to a gay actor to play a gay man.
So why go? The thing I don't understand is why go after the actor as if he's going to turn it down if it's maybe the. I've never even heard of this actor, by the way.
But I hear he's fantastic. I mean, Elton John said, "That's me," and he can actually sing, and he is fantastic. The only question I have. I've never seen that show. My wife likes it. The Neil Patrick Harris is on CBS. Is that Two and a Half Men or one of those?
Are you talking about not Doogie?
Yeah, Doogie Howser. The show he's on now on CBS.
I don't know.
He's got some huge hit show.
Yeah.
But How I Met Your Mother. Thank you. Right, just end it. But he played. He was Tracy. He played quite a womanizer on the show, right? So.
Oh, sorry. He got all the ladies.
Yeah.
Might help if I turn the mic on.
No, I heard you. I never heard the straight community criticize Doogie Howser for playing a straight guy in a role. Why does the gay community criticize Taron Egerton for playing a gay guy in a movie? You know what that is there? That's a hypocritical double standard.
Or if they're going to go after someone, why not go after the producers?
Why go after anybody?
No, I'm just saying, why blame the actor?
Just let the man be. Okay, with that as a mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
And our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. There's a big, speaking of Hollywood, oh my goodness, there's a big tribute to huge stars like Al Pacino this weekend. And Robert De Niro got up, and they said, "Will you pay tribute to your longtime friend, Al Pacino?" And Robert De Niro actually got booed in Beverly Hills, is where this thing was, because he used it to slam President Trump.
Number three.
You didn't think that you were completely going to get away without a Trump moment, did you?
Hey, so a few people start hooting and hollering.
The producers of the American Icon Awards call it a tribute to individuals who lead America. Not so fast. The champ, Evander Holyfield, my friend Quincy Jones, and my lifelong compatriot Al Pacino don't lead America. Maybe they should, but they do fill their own essential roles. People with great individual accomplishments who give us examples to look up to. They've earned our respect and admiration, and they deserve this tribute. On the other hand, the individual who currently purports to lead America is not worthy of any tribute.
About half the crowd's booing, and you even heard when he launched it, a bunch of people went, "Oh, no." And it's just so tedious. Man, I love De Niro as an actor. He has become one of the most tedious old men imaginable. Okay, at number two, here's kind of an unfortunate story. If your loved one forgets, not just forgets your birthday, because this guy, they're both in their mid-50s, he took his girlfriend out to a meal for her birthday, but then when they got back, he didn't have any other gift, And yeah, I saw the house in which they live. It's a pretty modest little house. And he didn't have some other gift and didn't have a cake for her. So that's when things went horribly wrong.
Number two.
David Ray says he wanted to make his housemate and girlfriend, Georgia Zawacki, feel important on a special day.
Yesterday was her birthday.
So Ray decided to treat the 55-year-old woman to dinner.
She was fine. Everything's fine.
Okay, so he takes her out to dinner for her birthday. Then they get home.
But a few hours after the pair returned to the West Newton home, Ray says Zawacki was drinking vodka, and a lot of it, and made pretty clear, no card, no cake, no gift. Birthday number 55 for her was a bust, and it was all David Ray's fault.
Okay, so what'd you do? Just, you know, yell at him?
Next thing you know, I'm getting stabbed.
Ray says Zawacki attacked him with a box cutter just like this, slashing his arm and literally trying to go for the jugular.
She went to my neck. She says, I'm going to kill you. I says, you know what? This is crazy. What are you doing?
It might have been the vodka talking there. And at number one, a 23-year-old school teacher. She has a third grade class down in Alabama, Jasmine Armani Merlette. She wrote her own lyrics. There's a Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus song called Old Town Road. She wrote her own lyrics for her third graders about the merits of education. It's absolutely charming.
Number one.
She's taking the selfie video. All her kids are jumping around singing.
Yeah.
Education is our swag. And the kids are so engaged, and that's what you want. Young teachers who come up with fresh ideas in our schools. Love people like that. That's our awesome audio brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign is next.
And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day.
Before we head out into the Monday afternoon, it is time for today's edition of
today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, Texas. It's the Lone Star State. A man with a gun broke into a home where there were four children sleeping. This was 2:30 a.m. Sunday. The father saw the gunman go into his 13-year-old daughter's bedroom. The father, not caring that the guy had a gun, immediately ran in and started wrestling with the gunman. He was able to take the gun away, and he shot the gunman. But the gunman was still able to run off. Where did he run to? The gunman ran into the family's kitchen, grabbed a knife, and stabbed himself to death. A neighbor had come over to help the family escape. When they walked by the kitchen, they saw the intruder repeatedly stabbing himself with the knife. Authorities who had been called took the man to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. They don't know if he died from the gunshot wounds because the father did shoot him several times after wrestling away the gun, or if he died from his stab wounds. All four children in the home were unharmed, and authorities say the home evasion appears to have been random. How about that? 2:30 in the morning, you're wrestling with a gunman to save your 13-year-old daughter's life. Yikes. Today's sign story number two. A woman has disgusted the internet after posting a picture and a photo of her engagement ring. The caption to the photo, "Posting because I love my wedding band. I gravitate toward vintage rings. I also love the gold ring because it's a keepsake ring. But then she described what the ring was made out of. It had a gold band, but she says the stone is made of breast milk. And my youngest son's umbilical cord and pieces of both my son's hair mixed in with gold flakes. Hair, dead human body parts, and breast milk. And it is a rather hideous looking thing, too, this ring. And people immediately went on to, after she posted and told them how disgusted they were. Can you imagine wearing that around? Man, people, oh! People do anything to get a little bit of attention. Like this woman, today's sign story number three. This woman got married, Jody Rose. She's from Sydney, Australia, but she traveled to France to get married on a bridge. To the bridge. She said she fell in love with the 14th century stone structure bridge while traveling through France, and she decided that she wanted that stone bridge to be her husband. And what's even crazier, they have a picture. She's in a wedding dress with 14 friends. What's even crazier is that she has 14 friends. And they look, they're kind of waving their hands in the air as she marries the bridge. And she says she even bought a ring to slip around a portion of the bridge.
Your husband had his very own wedding ring.
I put a ring on it, baby.
The Devil's Bridge.
I mean, you've seen him. He's very handsome. He's strong and sturdy. And I thought, yes, this is someone I can really connect with.
Man, I'm just grateful she's not screwing up some guy's life. But she's 14 people came out and celebrated her wedding to the bridge. And you heard, it's called the Devil's Bridge, which I guess makes her the Devil's Bride. It was quite the happy wedding ceremony, though. Look, she's going to know where he is all the time. He's never going to talk back to her.
It's a beautiful night.
He'll always help carry her across turbulent waters. And she can't procreate with him. That's the best part of this story. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say on this Monday afternoon. But I'll go home. I'll think up a bunch of new stuff for Tuesday's show. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Hi, Nick.
And it's on, girl. Don't say no.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.